You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. So we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to welcome you to today's broadcast. We're going to be in Psalm 69. We may actually finish up with this psalm today. It's should be able to accomplish that. But we want to thank you for joining us. Would like to take an opportunity to invite you out to our worship services this weekend. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And we would be thrilled and honored if you chose to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us. And our address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. That's the main intersection in Merritt Island. And so if you're headed to Cocoa Beach, that's probably the way you're getting there. If you're traveling north and south on the island, you're probably traveling on Courtney Parkway. We're not too far away from the Home Depot Plaza and things like that. So if you do not have a church home, we would be thrilled if you came and visited with us, had the opportunity to meet you, and thank you for listening to the Refresh radio program. This has been a great year, and been a year of some changes, but change is part of what goes on here in this world, and so we want to keep our eyes on the unchanging one while everything else around us seems to be changing. So today we're going to go back to Psalm 69. I'm going to read verses 29 through the end of the chapter. It's not that many verses. It's only about eight verses. And then we will pick up with the latter half of verse number 32. So Psalm 69, 29 says this, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners." Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. So we had talked a little bit on Thursday's program about praising the name of God with a song and magnifying him with thanksgiving. I saw something a few weeks ago, and it was someone who had made a post. It wasn't on our live stream. It was on someone else's live stream where they were being critical of the person who was singing praise to the Lord. And I've had situations in the past where people said, "Hey, I want to offer you some constructive criticism. Your voice is annoying." and it's like, you know what? There's not really anything I can do about my voice. And I wanted to, it wasn't my live stream or anything like that, but if people are watching live streamed church services and they're being critical of the people who are worshiping the Lord, I want to say this. It's not your opinion that counts. It's God's. We're not here to try and compare our vocal abilities with those of professional singers any more than the church cannot compete in the entertainment area with organizations who have billions and billions of dollars at their disposal, who their sole objective is to entertain you in such a manner, to such a degree, that you will willingly part with your financial resources so that they can have more billions and billions of dollars. We're not in the entertainment industry. We're in the business of impacting souls for the kingdom of God, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to be messengers of truth and messengers who not only proclaim the truth with their mouth, but do so with their lives. And so when we praise the name of the Lord with a song, it's because he's deserving of it. And we're going to use our gifts to the best of our ability. We will do our best to develop those gifts. And, you know, as I was reading that, they were primarily referring to a young person, which I don't like people criticizing young people in such a way that it could discourage them from using their gifts. But I was thinking of a person who is very well known in the Christian music industry, especially those from my demographic, but they've got dozens and dozens of albums and won dozens of awards. And I knew a person that was good friends with their parents. And every time they went over, this young lady sang. And the guy who I knew said she was terrible. But she wasn't going to stay terrible. She became quite excellent at using her gifts. And so I want to encourage you, if you are praising the name of God, do so to the best of your ability while continuing to improve your abilities. But the goal is not to impress me or to impress anyone else with your giftings. It is to magnify the name of the Lord. And this commercial PSA has been brought to you by me. So use your gifts for the glory of God. Verse number 32 says, "In you who seek God, your hearts shall live." So when we begin to praise God, when we begin to magnify him, when we conduct ourselves in a lifestyle that is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord in such an extent that others who are seeking the Lord are rejoicing, it says that you who seek God, as I was looking up, you know, and doing my research on this verse, it says, here, seeking God means to seek God as your first or primary need. That's why when the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it's because all of the other areas of our life are all secondary. If we are seeking the Lord and we understand who he is, how awesome he is, how worthy he is, what a benefactor he is, what a great savior and healer and lover of our souls. He is the one who holds us together in our present, in our past, and in our future. He's the one that holds all of that together. Then we realize that when in Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," that in order to seek first the kingdom of God, we seek God first. It's our primary need. So there have been a lot of times when I have traveled to the airport to pick up family members, to pick up guest speakers. Sometimes it's just to pick up people who are friends or things like that, that when I go there, the objective is to position myself at just the right time in such a way that the person I'm looking for that we are going to have a meeting spot. Now, text messages have made that a whole lot easier. But even before that, I positioned myself exactly where I needed to be, so what I was seeking, I would be able to find. In that case, who I was seeking, I would be able to find. So you who seek God, there's going to be a benefit here. And it says, your hearts shall live. That's not just talking about your blood pumpers. That's talking about your innermost being. It's talking about the essence of who you are and the vibrancy of life. It says, and your hearts shall live. It's talking not just to a single individual, but that there is a community of people who are seeking God as their primary need, and it is going to cause their innermost being to revive and to live. We're in the autumn season. It's hard to believe that the end of the year is coming as fast as it is, but it's getting there. When we were on vacation a couple of months ago, even then some of the leaves were beginning to change color because the trees were going into that survival mode where, you know, it's not so much about the green leaves as much as it is to make sure that when the cold weather comes, that the tree is going to be able to survive that. There are a lot of people who, when they enter the autumn season of their life, it's not the end, but the end is closer than the beginning was, that a lot of times they cease from the thriving mode into more of the surviving mode. They're into more existing than they are into living. But I want to tell you that I believe that life for older saints who are seeking God can be just as much of an adventure as it can be for younger people. I've been to a lot of general councils. That's the business meetings that take place in the Assemblies of God, take place every 2 years. Fortunately for our church and our budget, it shows up in Orlando a lot because of the facilities that they have, and people like to come to Florida, and I like not having to buy airplane tickets and things like that. I've heard a lot of meetings. I've heard a lot of sermons. I've heard some informational sessions. We've voted and made a lot of decisions and seen a lot of presentations, but one of the most profound experiences I ever had at a general council didn't come from a meeting. I was actually in a banquet. I stepped out of the banquet for just a few minutes, and when I did, I saw an elderly gentleman. He was seated on a couch that was just out in the hallway. I mean, they have these really wide corridors because so many people come and go through. And he was surrounded. He was probably in his 80s, 70s, 80s, something like that. And he couldn't stand. He had a cane that he used, and he was resting his hands on his cane while he was sitting there talking to about a dozen young men who, when I read the scripture in the NIV, I don't know if it still says it this way or used to say this, that the people were hanging on Jesus' every word. That's the way that these people were listening to him. They weren't listening to him because they had to. They were listening to him because they wanted to hear what he had to say, because what he had to say was of value. You know, I'm not a fan of country and Western music. There's a reason for that. When I was growing up, there we had a landline telephone. 1 mile to the north of our house was a 100,000-watt antenna of this country and Western station. It was very popular, and it was so powerful that when you picked up the telephone, you could hear the radio station playing on the telephone. Technology now is way better than it was then. But there was a song I remember. I'm not talking about the entirety of the song when I say this, but it was a song by Kenny Rogers, and it might have been Dolly Parton. It might have been a duet with her. Let's Go Out with a Blaze of Glory or something like that. And I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is not going to go out of this world with a whimper. We are going to go out victorious. And I pray that you have the mindset that each and every day that you are alive, that you praise God, you draw near to Him, you seek God for what He has for you that day, and say, whatever this day has to offer, let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's make the most of the opportunity, and let's most of all remember to live and thrive in the presence of God. It says, for the Lord hears the poor and does not despise His prisoners. Prisoners here can mean that people who are, in captivity. There are other meanings for this word that describe people who are miserable and people who are wounded. I remember when I first started the Refresh radio program, there was some input that was given to me that said there are a lot of people who listen to the radio station and they don't go to church. And there are some people who, for them, it is a mobility issue. Some are in care facilities. Some are homebound. But it was also made clear to me that there are many people who are not in church because they've been wounded, been hurt, and instead of rejoicing in the Lord, the trauma that they've experienced in their spiritual life has caused them to have a greater degree of misery. It left a bad taste in their mouth, and they don't go anymore. And, I could sit here and I could tell you, hey, you should be in the house of God because God's word says to you that you should be in the house of God. And it does say that. But I can tell you that there are a lot of other reasons to go to church than just because you have to. There's a lot of good things that happen when you go to church. So if you no longer attend the house of God because you've been hurt or wounded, I would ask you to reconsider. There's been some things that I've experienced throughout my life that were not pleasurable. In fact, they were quite unpleasant. Some things that I have eaten through the years that I said, I don't ever want to eat that again. My sister, when she graduated high school, my parents always allowed us to choose the restaurant, and she picked a restaurant. It's not one of my favorite restaurants. It's still around. We have some in Brevard County, but it's not one of my favorite places to eat. But if starvation is the other option, then I will go eat there. And so I had a meal there that I didn't care for. And not only did it turn me off to that particular meal, it turned me off to that entire genre of dietary nutritional supplementation. I just not my favorite. My wife loves it. I don't like it so much. But several years ago, I said, you know what? Rather than allowing my taste buds to be governed by a bad experience from the 1980s, I think I'm going to give that type of food another chance. And I tell you, now it involved a restaurant. I'm not even sure if that restaurant is still there. It was in Sanibel Island, and they've had a devastating hurricane that came through there since then, so I don't know if the place survived or not. But the food I didn't like was seafood. And I said, well, you know what? My wife and I were celebrating our anniversary. Let's give seafood a try, since that's what... And folks, I tell you, I ate seafood that changed the taste. So normally I'm the guy that goes to a seafood restaurant and orders a steak. If I go to a seafood restaurant, I'll ask, do you have this particular type of fish? And if they do, forget the steak, forget everything else. I'm having that because it is one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. I don't discount that people have had some bad experiences in church and been hurt by other people. I also have the balance to understand that there are people who are no longer in church and they've injured other people in the church as well. All I want to say is this: God does not despise people who are going through a season of misery or hurt or poverty. Instead, he embraces them, heals them, and positions them where he wants them. Verse 34 describes that when we have embraced praise on a personal level, when we have embraced praising God on a community level, that we will all of a sudden begin to have the perspective in verse number 34 that says, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. In other words, we're going to see that when we're not praising him, we're out of harmony with the rest of the cosmos, the universe, the earth, the heavens, everything that's in the sea, everything that is on the land. Creation is groaning in this sin-filled time that we live in. But please understand that even though it's groaning, it's never stopped praising God and who he is. Verse number 35 says, for God will save Zion. He will save the city of God. He will save the people of God. He will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. I'm not just staying at Merit Assembly of God to hold the fort down. I've been serving there for coming up on 33 years because the house of God needs to be there for the people as well as for God. In 1952, that property became a place of worship, and it's gone on through some very lean times, some good times, but it continues to go on because there are, to quote the prophet Amos, I believe it is, there are multitudes in the valley of decision. Sooner or later, people realize that there's a need for a church. And it's more than just marrying and burying. The church is not your personal 1-800, I find myself in a mess situation that you can call them up and say, get me out of my mess and I don't want to have a relationship with you. Far too many people in America think of their relationship with God as a one-night stand or a fling every once in a while, when they need to understand that God's interested in covenant life with you. He comes and saves the people of God so that the people of God can dwell in and possess the very things that God has promised them. Verse 36 says this, also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it. I am very, very big on generational ministry. I've done more things that trying to reach the youth as a pastor than I probably did when I was a youth pastor. We focus time, we focus resources, we focus energies, we focus styles and things like that. But my goal has never just been to reach as much as it was to reach, to teach, to train, and to launch. So that I would be like the person who's part of a team, who's pulling a person up that would ascend to greater heights than what I was, than what I was able to accomplish. I don't want to be the person, you know, kicking another person in the face that's trying to climb a rock. I want to be the person who's extending a helping hand to get them to go higher than what I was able to. People say that church is the most segregated place in American society, but I would say that it's not just segregated by race at times, which is tragic because heaven is supposed to represent people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and I would say add every generation. So we don't want to be just a church for my generation or a church for the older generation. We want to touch every age demographic. God is worthy of praise because those who love his name shall dwell in it. If you love God, you can join with all of the universe in praising him because you as a person who loves God and is loved by God, you're going to get to spend forever with the lover of your soul. I read a verse here a few weeks ago that says, it said something like that people are snared, they're trapped by the table that they partake of. I want to encourage you, feast on the goodness of God. It will change your life. He's the lover of your soul, and when you found that, you want to hold on to that for the rest of your eternity. God bless you. You have a great day. This is Friday. We will see you next Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.